There's no disagreement around the need to deal with our debts and our deficit to balance the books. So the question is, if you accept the need to deal with your debts, which we do, then how do you do it? Now, the Tory way is basically to say, right, the way we do that is massacring public services and lumping the entire burden of reducing the debt and the deficit on public spending cuts. That is not our way. Yes, we will make efficiencies, and yes, there will be public spending cuts outside of the protected areas. But there are three ways of reducing your deficit, and that's only one of them. You've got to get people's wages up, which is why we're going to get the national minimum wage up beyond £8. And the third way you do it is by asking very high earners, the top 1%, to make a bit of a bigger contribution. I've got nothing against people who make lots of money. Good luck to them. But I don't think it is unreasonable, when we've got to deal with our deficit, to ask them to make a bigger contribution.
The SNP and Nicola Sturgeon are making a lot of waves, standing out a lot in this election campaign, and not just in Scottish matters. Is it because there are parts of the UK crying out for left-wing politics, if you want, a voice that represents the anti-austerity movement that you've deserted?
Well, I don't accept that the Labour Party is pro-austerity. I think I'd just put it this way. The Conservatives think if you've got a 25-year mortgage, that you just seek to pay it off in 5 years, and to hell with what that means for public services and the support we give to individuals and communities. The SNP and the Green Party believe you can just elect not to pay your mortgage, which is an utterly irresponsible position. There's nothing progressive or social democratic about spending more paying back investors and speculators in the city than investing in housing and transport infrastructure. That is the Green SNP way. The Labour Party's position is one that says, yes, we need to reduce our mortgage and pay it off every year, but we're not going to massacre the support and public services that people get. And that's why I reject this idea that ours is an austerity position. And let's not forget, what Nicola Sturgeon wants to do is to break up the United Kingdom. And I think when the UK and the EU are facing more international competition than we've ever faced before, with China with its 1.3 billion challenging us, India with its 1.2 billion, this is not the time to fragment and break up, either within the UK or the UK moving outside of the European Union, when ultimately the best way we can exercise power to tangibly deliver better economic outcomes, but also security and political outcomes for our people, is by working not just as one United Kingdom, but with our European partners too, who share similar values and ideals to us, have similar challenges, and also want to create a more secure world for our peoples.
Your party is against having an EU referendum. Does that imply that you think the status quo at the moment is just fine? We can be happy with what we have?
Absolutely not. But I don't subscribe to this view that of UKIP and a Conservative Party whose European policy has increasingly been taken hostage by UKIP, that somehow the UK gets run over in the European Union. We don't get what we want. It's this kind of sulky obstructionism, when the fact is, during the premierships of both Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, we were able to marshal a majority behind the British position on most things on the council, whereas David Cameron has gone down in history as being the first British Prime Minister to lose a vote on the European Council. No, the status quo is not good enough, but I'd much rather have the UK being in the driving seat on reform. Actually, I found, talking to our European partners in and out of government, that they miss having Britain at the top table, playing a leading role in the European Union. Because not only is that good for Britain, actually they see that as being a good thing for the European Union too. That is the alternative approach. That is the Labour approach to delivering the goods for the British people. Not, frankly, doing what David Cameron, and we know Nigel Farage, the head of our populist party of the right here, want to do, which is basically take the bat off the field and refuse to bat for Britain. We'll stay on the field, bat for Britain, and make sure Britain is actually running the match.
But the reason why their popularity has increased so significantly in the last 20 years, 10 years, is that there is an issue that mainstream politicians are ignoring, which is giving people the choice to stay in the European Union or not. It's not the first time this would have happened. It happened in the 1970s. Indeed, Labour was instrumental in ensuring that there was a vote in the 1970s. So why not just give people a choice?
Because that's not what people are talking about. I mean, in this general election, Immigration as an issue is still a big one, but it has fallen behind somewhat where it was a year ago. It is simply not the big issue that it was a year ago. And equally, people of all different political persuasions will tell you that on the doorstep, having a referendum is not the priority for the British people. Sorting out our economy so that it's actually delivering long-term sustainable goods for the British people, that's what they talk to me about. They talk to me about, are you going to help my child afford to live around the corner from me? Where are the houses? Are you going to remove the obstructions to my kid being able to go to university and achieve their aspirations and dreams by cutting university tuition fees? Those are the kinds of things people talk to me about. They're not talking to me about an in-out referendum at the arbitrary date of 2017. And just to be clear, if there is any further proposal for transfers of powers to the European Union, it's at that point that we would hold a referendum. But that is simply not on the agenda.
You say that immigration isn't really an issue, you think, as much as it was before.
I say it's still a big issue. It was actually the number one issue this time last year.
You think it's drifted away some?
No, it's not the number one issue now. The two big issues at this general election are the economy and the NHS.
How come Labour has this mug in its shop saying, controls on immigration, I'm voting Labour? I mean, it seems as if the parties are still trying to outdo each other on being tough on immigrants. You yourself will be a descendant of immigrants, as am I. It's very, very commonplace in the UK. Are you slightly uncomfortable with the language of immigration mainstream politics in the last few years?
I've been very clear. I don't like the nature of the debate around immigration as a whole in our country. I think we need a rational and sane debate. I don't like this nonsense that is perpetrated by UKIP that says all the problems in the UK are down to immigrants. In the 60s and 70s, they were saying that was the fault of black and Asian people. Now the current flavour of choice are Eastern Europeans. I thoroughly reject that, as does the Labour Party. But I don't think it is racist or prejudiced to want to ensure that there are firm and fair immigration controls. And that is all the Labour Party has been talking about. And in fact, I find in the constituency that I've had the privilege of representing, the people who raise this issue about immigration controls with me more than any other are actually my black and Asian constituents. The reason there is the mug that you refer to is because we had five key pledges and there was a mug for each pledge. That's the only reason that there was an immigration mug. If we had only produced one mug with our immigration pledge on it, I might be jumping up and down, as I can tell your listeners you want to do, as I can see your body language. But that is not the case.
Are there too many workers from the EU here? You don't, in your manifesto, talk about capping the number of workers from the EU. It's something that both UKIP and the Tories have spoken about in the past. Are you comfortable with the level of EU migrants here?
I think what we need to do is to ensure that our own people have the skills, which many employers say is lacking, which leads them to recruit people from abroad, including the EU. I think the best way that we can ultimately reduce immigration from the EU is not stopping it where those people are coming in to fill skills gaps, because our people don't have the skills, because otherwise if we stop that from happening, our businesses wouldn't be able to operate. That's what they tell me, and I'm the shadow business secretary. I'd much rather we made sure our guys had the skills by ensuring particularly that they have the technical and vocational skills that employers say is lacking, by boosting the numbers of apprenticeships and making sure we have good quality apprenticeships. And the second thing is, of course, we've got to make sure that when people do come over here, that they aren't exploited and that we don't have undercutting in our labour market, and therefore that the national minimum wage, for example, is properly enforced, because otherwise migrant labour is exploited, which is bad for them, and it undercuts local workers, which is not good for them.
What happened to the environment in mainstream politics and in labour politics? I'll read you something from the 2001 manifesto. It talks all about numbers. It's about 1997, we set the target of reducing CO2 emissions by 20% by 2010. We're going to meet our obligations. All sorts of hard numbers, concrete targets. This manifesto, this time round, it's very vague. It's, we're going to push for global targets abroad that rise every 5 years.
Well, look,
it's gone away.
Yeah, but you haven't read out our commitment to a 2030 decarbonisation target, which is necessary to give the renewable sector a very clear indication of our goal so they can make the long-term investment decisions to further grow that sector. You didn't mention that. You didn't mention the fact that we are also committed to creating 1 million new green jobs by 2025, which is a very important indicator of our intention. And you also didn't mention our industrial strategy, which I last year put green tech and renewable growth at the heart of. Part of the trick, I think, in reforming our economy so it's fit for the future is working out what are those sectors where we've got competitive edge and comparative advantage, and there will be demand in the future that we can grow to sell goods and services into the world that the other countries want. And this is clearly an area where we have led and we can lead in the future. And I've been very clear about that.
The CO2 emissions are rising. They are rising.
And well, that's current, right.
And under successive governments,
globally,
they've been rising.
Look, globally, CO2 emissions are rising. I don't think that is the fault alone of a UK government or whatever political persuasion. But again, this is where ensuring we act together on a supranational level with other countries is absolutely fundamental.
Is that not happening enough?
It isn't happening enough. That's part of the reason why we were not able to secure what we wanted to see at the Copenhagen summit in 2009. In fact, the only reason, well, one of the principal reasons we got something from the Copenhagen summit was because of the leadership shown by the then climate change and energy secretary, who is now the leader of the Labour Party. But of course, more needs to be done. But again, this is why it's essential that we remain at the heart of Europe, because you can do things at a supranational level with many other countries at a European level in a way that you can't when you're sitting on your own in the corner.
It may be that Labour's best chance of forming a government will be with the Scottish National Party if they get a lot of your constituencies in Scotland. Is that something that you'll consider doing?
Well, look, there's lots of ifs and buts in that question, and ultimately it's for the British people to determine. The way our democracy works is we all put our best feet forward. The Labour Party is absolutely clear. I'm clear. We are going for a majority government, and then people will vote on the 7th of May, and all the different political parties will deal with whatever hand is dealt to them by the public. That's the way it works. And I'm not going to insult people by, you know, setting out scenarios and making deals in backrooms with anybody.
So you're not ruling it out, though?
We've ruled out doing any kind of coalition with the SNP, and we couldn't be clearer than that. And why we have chosen exceptionally to comment on the SNP is because I think they're in an exceptional position, which is they are one political party standing who wants to break up the United Kingdom, and I'm thoroughly opposed to that.